WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready. Before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
And now, in stereo. Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Life Strong Project. Again, I'm your host, AC, and as always, I am blessed and humbled that you guys allow me to embrace your airwaves and ride on through to your speakers. Today is a very special day. It's June 19th, aka Juneteenth. All right, it's a very special day in Black history, in our heritage, in who we are today. Remember, Juneteenth celebrated on June 19th, of course. It marks a pivotal movement in American history. On this day, 1865, Major General Gorton Granger, all right, he arrived in Galveston, Texas, and announced the end of slavery. More than 2 years, get this, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. We had been free for 2 years, but it took 2 years for people to acknowledge it, all right? So it's just remember this day as we gather to commemorate Juneteenth and recognize the ongoing journey towards equality and justice. Now, for my guest today. All right. So as a lot of you already know, the Life Strong Project has a nonprofit side, the Life Strong Project Way. And what we like to do, or what we aim to do, is to assist youth with what is known as life skills. Everything from, you know, how to budget your money, investing, interview skills, resume writing skills. And my guest today, finally, I found someone who has the same passion for teaching youth life skills. All right. She has gone from a former foster youth to empowering life skills educator. She hails from Greenville, North Carolina. She has two associate degrees, and then she got a bachelor's degree from North Carolina Central University. Go Eagles, right? Go Eagles. All right. So so today I want you guys to welcome to the Life Strong Project, Miss Carlina Shotwell. Welcome, Miss Shotwell.
Hi, family. Hi.
We are.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be here on your platform to engage on more information centered around life skills.
Hey, all right. We are very excited to have you. And as I shared with you before we even got, you know, started the interview, I can't wait to pick your brain, because this is something that I'm passionate about as well. And I'm just dying to hear somebody else's points of view, somebody else's approach, just what you know as far as a life skill. So before we start, let's go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I am born and raised from Greenville, North Carolina. You may have heard of us, or you may have confused us with Greenville, South Carolina. But you know, we're up and coming. We're a small city that's growing each and every day. So ultimately, being born here, I was traveling throughout many unforeseen circumstances with my biological mother and my four siblings. Prior to entering foster care, we were actually living in the homeless shelter here in Greenville for a few years. And then ultimately, social services stepped in to provide us more of a stable environment. So throughout my life in foster care, I entered at the age of 9 and I aged out at the age of 19. In between that time frame, I traveled between 7 different homes. And I can say now, as a mature adult, that it was not always the fault of the foster parents. I got to an age where I thought I knew it all. You couldn't tell me anything,
That's all of
as well as those survival instincts. I just couldn't let those go. So I wanted to be able to handle things on my own and not really accept the love that the foster parents were willing and able to give to me. So I realized that as I got older, I didn't really give them a chance. Granted, was the homes perfect? No, but no home is perfect, right? Not even my own home, being a mom. So ultimately, that's how my life transitioned throughout foster care, just moving from home to home and being that little girl who you just couldn't tell her anything. So then I was able to utilize scholarships that we have here in North Carolina for Foster U. For example, we have ETV and NC Reach. Those are our two main scholarships for kids that are in the substitute care system that allows you to go to school, college for free. So that's why I have so many degrees. I went to school with no fee being attached, no debt. So that was exciting, being the first in my I know, right? So being the first in my family to graduate high school and then to go on and receive a college degree has always been an honor. So since then, I have worked a few years in the corporate world in banking. And even though I enjoyed it, it wasn't for me. The corporate world is not for me. And what I mean by that is I am very much a social butterfly. When I walk in a room, I want to meet everybody. I want to talk to everybody. I find people intriguing. And in the corporate world, it doesn't allow you to have that type of space, especially when you first enter. You're very much in a role where you have to kind of sit down and be quiet, if you will. And that did not work out for me. I wanted to be able to spread my wings and go places, and I couldn't do that in the corporate world. So in 2019, I decided to pivot. I was like, what are we going to do? I started talking to people within child welfare simply because I had already been doing workshops for them for years for free. And then one day, one of the social workers that I work with, she ended up telling me, you know, we can pay you to do these workshops. And a light bulb went off in my head because I'm like, what? I could have been getting paid. So ultimately, in 20, right? I'm like, we're not gonna tell me this.
Yeah, but
But it's
thanks for
okay
telling
because
me
I put in
now.
the Thanks for telling me now, right? So ultimately, I was grateful for her because that showed me. And it allowed me to align myself with what I've been enjoying for years, which is going back and serving my population of foster youth. So after that, I decided, you know what? I formed my business. I got all that settled and straight. And I decided to quit the corporate world. And I literally put in a 2 weeks notice. I had a couple thousand dollars saved up before I left. And within 2 months, I was able to be in this city and that city and doing this workshop and just creating these partnerships with government entities, with youth-based organizations. It's just been awesome. The education world. So now we actually have our own life skills curriculum and our workbook. I developed that in about 2 years ago, lot of work was involved simply because there's 14 modules, such as goal setting, conflict resolution, healthy relationships, financial literacy, housing essentials. And I wanted to make sure those were tied to the 8 outcomes of North Carolina for our foster youth. So there was a lot of brain work, a lot of heads to the ground, and just doing a lot of evidence-based research. So once we were able to finally get the curriculum together, I've been successfully with getting it throughout North Carolina, Texas. We even have our curriculum in Colorado right now for their upcoming retreat. They have a retreat for their young people, so they're going to utilize our curriculum.
Okay.
So thankfully, it's been a journey.
It's been
a hard journey.
I did not hear Georgia.
But I can say that I'm excited to know.
I didn't hear Georgia.
No, Georgia is not in there. Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
I was waiting for Georgia. Let's make it happen, please. So crazy enough, I actually have a meeting later on today with someone in Georgia. She has a huge conference going on next year for mental health. So we're going to see how we can collaborate. So that may be an opportunity, or I can lean on you to make it happen.
Hey.
So yes, that is my story.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready, before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available, because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
That is awesome.
Is my story.
I applaud you. That's a lot. I mean, first I applaud you for having the strength and the bravery to leave corporate America. That's not easy to do. That takes a lot. I mean, to walk away from what puts food on the table, follow your passion and follow what you should be doing. Not everybody can do that. So I applaud you. So let me ask you this. So here you are. Mm-hmm. You're coming up in the foster system, and you said it yourself. You said, "Hey, it's no fault of all of the families that I was fostered with. Some of this was on me." And so how do you bridge that? How do you explain that, or have you had the opportunity to explain that to some of the kids that may be coming up in the foster system and feel the same way you did? Because you were like, because let me tell you something, we all felt that. We all felt that we knew everything. We all, at some point in time, we felt we knew something until we became adults and found out we didn't know a thing. So how do you bridge that gap? How do you say, hey, do you tell them your story, or how do you relay that to them?
So I do it in a more unique approach. And I actually just did this recently at a foster care conference this past Friday. So I was a keynote, and in my keynote, I wanted to be able to explain to the young people as they transition into the real world, you're different. Let me explain why you're different. And the way I did that is I talked about being nurtured by love, as well as being forged by survival. Mm. What does that look like? As well as what are the skills you already have based on your upbringing? And to me, that allows our young people, as well as adults, because there was even adults in the room who came up, to talk to me afterwards, who was able to resonate with it.
Oh, wow.
We're all different. So we all handle situations differently. And a lot of that is tied to our backgrounds, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I handled this one situation wrong compared to you. I may have just took a different approach. And I took a different approach because I have those survival instincts. I'm not going to give up, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just because I want to do it by myself doesn't mean that I can't do it. I just have the instinct to do it by myself. Versus someone who's raised in love, they may lean on other people around them. They may enjoy having others help them. Whereas someone in survival, no, if you ask to help me, that is not a compliment.
Wow.
That means, to me, it means you think I'm weak. So wow. I want to do it on my own. So it doesn't mean they don't want your help. They just don't need your help right now. Right. But there's still other ways that people can support you. So our foster parents come in 9 times out of 10, they come into the picture with the idea of let me help, help, help. It depends on your young person, right? Wow. It depends on the situation, if they need or even desire your help. It doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong.
Right.
You just have to get to understand that child's upbringing to understand why they do what they do. And it's not always tied to trauma. It's not. A lot of people always think, oh, they went through something bad. Mm-hmm. You have to realize when I was in a homeless shelter, that was normal. I didn't know that this was a homeless shelter. No one said, hey, welcome to the homeless shelter when right. I walked through the door. Right. I didn't know that. It was a home. I had friends. I knew where my bed was. I knew where the cafeteria was. It was normal to me. So there wasn't any trauma attached to it. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. Yeah. Wow.
You may look at it as a negative thing, but it's not.
Yeah, I'm hearing that, and I'm like, I've never heard it from the, I guess from the aspect
other
of,
side.
Yeah, and just some of the things you said, I was like, ooh, you know, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of trying to say, hey, I'm trying to help you. You won't listen to me. Why, you know, why won't you listen? I have knowledge for you, and hearing that, I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's so. Let me ask you this. Why, being that you have firsthand knowledge, why do some young people feel that I don't need your help? Now, I understand they're coming from a place of, you know, I've been doing this on my own. I'm going to do it on my own. I've been there. I've been there. But what's the added incentive, or what are they feeling when someone approaches them and says, hey, I can help you through this, and they say, no, I don't want your help, or they, you know, rebut or say, no, I didn't ask for your help.
So let me think, because I want to give an example, but also because even about myself, I have the survival instincts. I now have love because I have my own family, mm-hmm. but ultimately I still consider myself raised in survival.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Verbal's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape with friends, a family week at the beach, or sightseeing in a new city, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now. Average savings $72. Select homes only.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
even for me, because I'm very much on the have the survival instincts. I now have love because I have my own family, mm-hmm. but ultimately I still consider myself raised in survival. And with that being said, even when having discussions with my partner and we're discussing something big, like maybe, you know, a goal we have set for, mm-hmm. in those discussions, I have to be spoken to in a certain way to receive his help. So it's not always, no, we're going to get in the car. We're going to drive up the street. We're going to turn left. No. Hey, Carlina, what do you think about us getting in the black car today and going, you know, up the street to the left? Like, it's, what do you think? Not let's do this.
Okay.
Right. Because okay. In a survivor's world, we know we're alone. We have that mindset. We don't mind if other people come with us. You can't lead us because we don't trust you to lead us. Oh, right. Wow. To a certain extent. So if you're more so talking to the individual as, what do you think about this? Or if they've already done something that you may not agree with. Okay. So when you did this, what were you feeling? Walk me through that. What made you come to this decision? And as you're talking, you're going to allow that person to open up to you, right? Mm. And then you're able to guide them, but you cannot tell them. It's not going to be received. They're going to close the door on you mentally, physically, whatever the case may be, and they're going to move on. But if you're wow. there with them in the picture, mm-hmm. to help guide them, it's going to be more received. Now, someone that grew up in love, oh, they're used to people telling them what to do.
Right.
They're used to that.
Right.
Because they have the support. They've always had that support. So it's not unnormal for someone to say, hey, you know, Carlina, get in the car. We're going to go up the street real quick. That's normal to them.
Right.
They're not going to block you. Whereas someone in survival is going to be like, what do you mean? Why are we getting in the black car? Why are we going up the street?
Oh.
Does that make sense?
It's how you say it. Okay, I got you. Wow. Okay.
Does that make sense? Have you had a young person where you're trying to guide them and they're not receiving it, but looking back, you're like, you know what? Maybe I was a little too aggressive.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that. And let me be fully transparent.
Yeah.
I thought I was coming from a place of love and that I was helping and that what I was doing was helpful. And I was like, and until you said that, until you explained that, in my head, I was saying, they just don't want to listen. I never saw it from that angle. So I thank you for that. So,
yeah.
So that's there's
they don't want a crutch.
Wow. That's
uh-huh.
And here I thought I was giving them one and I thought that's what they needed. So ouch. wow. Okay.
No, not a survival person.
Wow.
Not a
you don't think but about survival.
You see how beneficial it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of us out here.
Wow. But again, if you don't come from that world or that area, or you don't have those experiences, you don't know. Or you can think you know. Mm-hmm. You think you know. That's the thing. We think we know, but we don't. So that right there just opened up a lot. I may have been a little aggressive, but not from a point of contention. I was honestly trying to help, but it backfired. So I've got to go make that right. See now, I got to go make that right. So let me ask you this. What are some of the, you said you have, if I remember correctly, 14 modules?
Yes, there's 14 modules in the curriculum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the way I'm thinking, 14 modules, there's 14 different areas. Or 14 essential mm-hmm. skills that you are trying mm-hmm. to get these young people to understand. What are the, I don't want to say the most important. I don't like saying that because they're all important. But what are, if you could pick three out of those 14, mm-hmm. what are the three that mm-hmm. out of these 14, these three you've got to get?
Okay, that's super easy.
Okay.
And it's highly requested. So housing essentials has definitely been number one, simply because so many young people, whether they're in foster care or not, are becoming homeless. So many. Our homeless rate has skyrocketed. So housing essentials, is big, because not only are we teaching you how to look for your own home, we're also teaching you your rights, your tenant rights, and understanding to not get taken advantage of by a landlord.
Okay.
As well as we're teaching you in the curriculum how to manage your own home. Believe it or not, for the longest, in foster care, I was not taught how to clean. Mm-hmm. It was not an environment where we woke up on a Saturday. I hear people talk about this all the time. In my household, we woke up on Saturday yep. and we had to clean and we had music.
Yep.
I had never heard of that or seen that a day in
wow.
my life.
Wow.
Because in foster care, even in the 7 different placements, that was not a thing. And I had black foster parents.
Wow.
The reason why it wasn't a such thing for us is because we were a liability. We could not be around Clorox. We could not be around cleaning supplies, because if we ingested them or if something happened to us, that would be the foster parent's head on a platter.
Oh, wow.
When it comes to the state.
Oh.
So we were not allowed in that type of environment. I didn't wash my own clothes. No. I didn't do that, because if I broke their wash machine, they got to replace it. So
wow.
when I finally did age out at 19, I did not know how to do anything. Wow. I didn't know how to properly wash my clothes. When I ironed for the first time, I put holes in 2 of my favorite shirts. I swore I wasn't going to ever iron again. I did not know how to do it. No one taught me.
Hmm.
So even learning how to cook was foreign to me. So in the curriculum, we go over those essentials when it comes to managing your own home. It's not just about paying bills. They have to know how to take care of themselves in their own safe environment, as well as we talk about what makes your home safe. As young people, and I'm sure you probably have done this too, when you get your own place and your friends find out, oh, they're excited. Everybody is spending the night at your house.
Yes.
Everybody's coming to chill yeah. at your house.
Yeah.
And they're not going to take care of your safe environment like you will. So understanding what it's like to be taken advantage of people around you, because it happens. So housing essentials, number one.
Okay.
Number two is going to be financial literacy. Hmm. It's always going to be financial literacy. That tends to be a foreign language, especially in African-American culture, just being honest about your money and what you're doing with your money and how it affects you. You know,
mm-hmm.
money is very much hush hush in our community, and I don't understand why. I know in my household, I am very transparent. Mm-hmm. When my oldest son wants something, we have a rule. The first of the month, because that's the bulk of my bills.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby, don't ask me for nothing. don't ask me for nothing. Okay. Everybody that took from me,
oh,
you are the last
goodness.
Person. So, but he knows. He knows, and he'll be like, hey, mom, I know it's the first of the month. I'm not asking for it right now, but can I have so-and-so? Like, my son knows. It doesn't mean you're not going to get it. You just have to understand priorities are first.
Right.
Right? You right. want somewhere to lay your head. You want nice water, electricity.
Yes.
These are things that come first. So it's not, I learned, it's not a secret in this household,
mm-hmm.
but we still have work to do. So having our young people, especially ages 14 to 21, understanding how money works,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't grow on trees, how to manage it, as well as credit, investments. I even have a whole chapter just about investments. It's
awesome.
More than just stocks and bonds.
Right.
Like, there's so many other options if our young people do decide to go that route. And then our third one, I would say that's super important. It's not being utilized a lot, and I wish that it was. It's okay. going to be healthy relationships.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why I say that is the red flags and green flags are real. And not just necessarily in platonic relationships in general, right?
Yeah.
It can be a relationship between you and your teacher, a friend, a parent, like your neighbor. understanding what you define as healthy is going to be super important, because what you define as healthy may not be what someone else defines as healthy. So understanding your boundaries and what you're willing to tolerate and not, you need to figure that out, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way to figure that out is to talk about it and not just accept anything from anybody. So those are the three I would say are super important right now in the world that we live in.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so two out of the three I would have gotten. I would have nailed those two. The second and the third. I would have nailed those two.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would not, however, gotten the first one. That, and hearing you explain that, it makes complete sense again. Again, you know, coming from, you know, your background, that makes complete sense. And somebody that hasn't come from your background, we look at that as foreign. Like, you don't know how to iron your clothes. How old are you? You know, and we look at you, not you per se, yeah. but somebody from, you know, our background versus your background will look at you instead of look at you with eyes of trying to understand. Okay. We look at you with eyes of how can you not? How, man, do you realize they don't even know how to clean their house? And like you said, we go in the whole story. Every Saturday, we got up, and my mama was playing the best of Al Green, and we cleaned that out. And so it makes complete sense why somebody may not understand or know how to do those things. So I would have definitely not gotten that one. And I appreciate you for opening our eyes, because we don't know. I mean, forgive us for our ignorance, but a lot of us yeah. do not know. I'm like mind blown right now. So those, what are your educational approaches? I mean, with these 14 modules, mm-hmm. and you've already explained how yes. We can, you know, we how some of us think we're helping, and we're coming from a place of, you know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to help, but, you know, somebody may not want, they may need it, but may not want assistance right then and there. What are some of your educational mm-hmm. approaches
yeah.
to circumvent that? Like, instead of going, taking that direct approach, you kind of go around, then come back, and mm-hmm. there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree with you. So, like you said, some people may not want the assistance. They may want the guidance, which are two different things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They just don't want you to hold their hand. So the way that I do it, and I've set up the curriculum in this way. So not only is our curriculum evidence-based, it's also brain-based. So brain-based is basically a methodology that allows people, not just young people, different ways for us to learn so we can absorb and keep the information for a long period of time. The way I do it, and I have it set up in the curriculum, is not only do we have the information, we also have the case studies. So the case studies, there's 8 case studies per module. And this allows our young person to read scenarios. So let's say they're reading a scenario about a housing essential module, and they can read a scenario about Kate and Alex. They just moved into their first place and how they're handling that. So it's 8 different scenarios. Then there's lines on their worksheet. So you as a facilitator, you will actually print this out ahead of time, and you would give it to your young person to actually read the scenario. And a lot of these scenarios, as you're talking to them and bringing up discussion, is a great way to talk to them. Mm-hmm. They can relate to some of it, right?
Right.
And they're able to explain how they would have handled the situation.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
When you manage procurement for multiple facilities, every order matters. But when it's for a hospital system, they matter even more. Grainger gets it and knows there's no time for managing multiple suppliers and no room for shipping delays. That's why Grainger offers millions of products and fast, dependable delivery, so you can keep your facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
So the case studies are set up as a way for them to talk and to think. Even though Alex did this, what would you have done in this scenario? And they may do the exact same thing as Alex.
Right.
Or they may go a different route to get to the resolution. Or they may not do what Alex did at all. Mm-hmm. They're like, nah, I don't agree with what Alex did. I'm going to do something completely different. Mm-hmm. This allows you as a facilitator to understand your young people and how they think, as well as it allows you to open up your eyes and them to see that everybody thinks differently. So the case studies is definitely a must in the curriculum. And then we have our test. So we have a 5-question test that allows our young people to test their knowledge and for you to ensure that they listen to you. And then we also have 2 games. Right. That's big, right? We also have 2 games per module. So in the curriculum, I actually tell you what supplies you need ahead of time. And some of them I actually give to you in the curriculum. Okay. For example, our bingo games, I actually give you the words for the bingo card. I actually give you the bingo card. So all you have to do is print it and laminate them. And this allows our young people to stay engaged on the topic. And then, of course, the last part in our curriculum for each module is going to be the resources. So I'm really big on continuing to learn. So I put in the modules another website for you to learn more information, an app that the young person can download per module, as well as a book. So we have those 3 resources that we provide that we check throughout the year to make sure that they're up to date. There was a situation last year where 2 of our links were not up to date. So we had to reprint and update them, which was perfectly fine. And we sent out the new curriculums to our organizations.
Okay.
But ultimately, that's how we have it set up. You have to be willing and able to teach in different ways to ensure that the young person absorbs the information. But case studies is definitely a big one.
Wow. Okay. All right. So interesting that you said you have to be able to teach in different ways. I'm thinking in the past 10 years, how technology has, let's even go back a few years when COVID hit, the whole COVID, the pandemic, I like to call it the pandemic era, but that time frame where we couldn't go, you know, and be with others. We couldn't, face-to-face wasn't a thing. We were, you know, relegated to our homes and we had to do everything via Zoom or Google Meet or what have you. So thinking about that, in the next 10 years, where do you see, you know, the life skills education moving towards?
I would love for it to be something that's implemented in the classroom. Like, I want this to be a class that someone signs up for. This needs to be a credit before you can actually graduate. And I'm thankful and grateful to say that there's actually a private school in Texas, where they're actually implementing our curriculum for their summer program for their GED students.
Wow, that's awesome.
It is going to be a credit.
Wow.
So they do have to complete the whole entire course this summer and be able to earn those 2 credits graduate. So I was just informed that a couple of weeks ago. So we're moving. And that just shows that we're on the right track.
Right.
But ultimately, I would love for this to be in the classrooms to some capacity.
Right.
Right now, it's being utilized privately, you know, summer programs, camps, things like that, which is great. But I would love for it to be in the classroom for sure.
Oh, wow. Now, it's interesting you said that because, oh, my God, I'm about to show my age. Back when I was in high school, we had some of those. Like, of course, nobody, you know, I guess balancing checkbooks isn't a thing anymore. But we had some of those. Like,
yes.
I was talking about I was talking to my wife the other day, and she was like, yeah, you know, when I went to school, we had stuff like home ec. We had stuff like woodshop. And it's like those are those skills aren't warranted for some reason in the school systems anymore. Like, we're doing other things, and not saying those things aren't, you know, reputable and creditable and whatever, but wow, what about the life skills? I mean, and I think it shows in, you know, each generation, as, you know, you're doing the work now, so you see the necessity of those skills. So, how can someone, let's say, for instance, there's a youth, or maybe there's an adult, because let me ask you this first. What are the age groups for your work? Because you mentioned that you do have adults that come up to you, and you know, you aged out at 19, and I'm like, wow, that's a harsh thing to, you know, hear. Like, you aged out, like, we ain't gonna fool with you no more. But you still have young adults that, you know, don't have these skills. So what is your age range for assistance?
So the age range is 14 years old to 21 years old. In regards to the curriculum and workbook, I wouldn't do under 14. I do understand that, you know, the younger generation are learning at a rapid age. I can't agree and attest to that, even having a teenager. However, I've tested it on my teenager who was under the age of 14, and it's not well received, simply because they're not. It's one thing to learn the information; it needs to be applied. And if they're younger than 14, they cannot apply it just yet, right? So that's why I put the age at 14 and not any younger than that. So 14 to 21 will allow them to learn the information in the curriculum and then be able to apply it as soon as possible.
Awesome. How can listeners connect with you? If there's somebody that's out there between those ages, of course, how can listeners find Carlina Shotwell?
So we really pride ourselves in building a collaborative environment with our partnerships. So our partnerships are more so tied with government entities, youth-based organizations, and education systems versus actually one-off parents. So ultimately, I would love for a parent to join the movement by all means. As far as the curriculum is concerned, that's going to benefit more of a larger population that has, you know, maybe 5 to 10 or more young people within their fold. So I am really big on LinkedIn. Everything's in my name. So Carlina Shotwell on LinkedIn. We provide a forum where we post facts and statistics once a week in the educational system on there. Instagram, I'm really big of there as well. So those are my two top platforms where you can find me. Or if you want to chat with me just one-on-one, feel free to email me at hello@consultwithcarlina.com. Go ahead and send me an email and let me know. We can schedule a time to talk.
Oh man, that's awesome. So you guys got the inside info of how to reach out and converse or contact Carlina Shotwell in her services. These are services that I completely agree. We need these for our youth. It just seems like a growing number of youth are growing up without the fundamentals. And it's just making for tougher adulthoods when they don't necessarily have to be. So, Carlina Shotwell, thank you so much for dropping in on the Livestrong Project. We have learned something today. So I've got to tighten my shot group and figure out a different approach. So I appreciate your information. Just everything you've shared with us today. Thank you so much for dropping by. Livestrong family, that's the show for today. Again, remember, our lives are fleeting. Cherish them. Our lives are ever changing. Adapt to them. And your life is yours. Live it. That's all we've got for today, Livestrong family.
be good.
Thanks for listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.